This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We got Love and we got Tua. If only Love's name was Hawk, it would have really just gone really viral.
Hawk Tua.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
People who think it's not Tua's world, he's really good.
Earlier on the show, Chargers general manager Joe Ortiz, basketball Hall of Famer Mike Krzyzewski, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Coming up, WWE superstar The Miz. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Man, what a fun show we are having. We had the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers, Joe Ortiz, in studio hour one. Kyle Brandt just spent all of hour two in studio with us. Coach K is about to zoom into the show, but right before that, one of the best in his business, The Miz, is right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Wow, thank you very much for that.
Bro,
look at
sir,
that intro.
No, come on now.
Best in his business.
You are
okay.
Definitely that, bro. SummerSlam streams live on Peacock this very Saturday, taking place in Cleveland at Browns Stadium.
My hometown.
And you are hosting that.
My hometown.
On Saturday.
It's crazy.
Night.
When I was a kid, I grew up going to Cleveland Browns Stadium, yeah. And now I'm performing in that stadium that I watched the Browns play, usually lose, to be honest.
Yes.
When I was a kid, we lost a lot
right.
in that stadium, but now I feel like we're on the right track.
Well, I mean, and so that'll be pretty. Have you been underneath in the stadium?
Oh, I've been around.
You've been
yeah,
around?
I've been around that
so,
stadium.
Okay,
yeah,
so
last year we do a guitar break. To intro like the Browns, that's kind of what we do. That's our thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, because we're the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, they have this kind of, what is it, an amplifier?
Yeah.
And you bash a guitar over it, and that's how you get the crowd up to get ready for, and I did that for the game opener last year. So I got to go in the VOM, got to go out, got to lead the Browns out. We beat the Bengals our first game out, so it was kind of nice.
Well, I mean, isn't Browns fans will tell you they have Joe Burrow's
number.
We're going
to number. The Super Bowl. We do have his number. Absolutely, 100%. All day. I feel bad for Joe Burrow when he comes to Cleveland. I feel bad when we go to Cincinnati. He's not going to win.
Do you really feel bad, though?
I don't care if he looks like Slim Shady or not. We're kicking him all over the place.
I was going to ask you what you thought of his look.
Huh? Look, he can look any which way he wants. He's a fantastic quarterback. He's fun to listen to in interviews. And look, he's great. But if he sees us in the playoffs, he's done. Cash him in. See you, bye.
Man, you're just living your best life right now. I mean, you're hosting SummerSlam in the Browns, in the home of the Browns in Browns Stadium. Did you just get the key to your city? Your
I got the key to the city.
Parma, Ohio?
Actually, a couple years ago, Parma, okay. Ohio. I was doing a show called Miz and Mrs.
I do know that show.
Yes, that show. We did a thing where, like, I got the key to the city, and I was like, wait, I'm getting the key to the city? They're like, yeah, they're giving you the key to the city. And I didn't realize it was a whole thing. Like, we did a whole, like, almost concert venue at my old high school, Normandy High School. And there was thousands of people that show up.
Yeah.
And my dad kind of surprised me. He didn't tell me. And they gave me the key, and I had to do a speech. And I didn't realize there was a speech involved. So I kind of just had to talk for, like, 20 minutes and kind of just gave a rah-rah. Like I truly believe I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't grow up and were around the people that have supported me for so long. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason I am here today, I think, where I'm at in WWE and where I've done what I've done with me, able to do with my career.
Right.
I think the city taught me a work ethic that is unmatched by anywhere else I would have grown up.
Well, I know you love your town, you love your home state, you love your home city, you love Cleveland. And it's going to be the Hall of Fame in Canton during the day and mm-hmm. SummerSlam at night.
That's right.
How about that?
I know.
What
I was talking to Pat McAfee about it. I was like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your buddy's going in. Freeney's going in.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I'm going to try and get there. I'm like,
he's going to
be on commentary during our show. And then I think he's literally picking up and going right to Canton.
Well, I think he should be able to make it because it starts around noon and Freeney's first up.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, he should be able to make it.
He should be able to make it for sure.
It's really cool
Pat's
to have
that. That is awesome. Pat's one of my favorite people.
Like, yeah, he's been amazing for us in WWE. He's a ball of energy. You know, he usually flies in because he does his show, and then he'll fly right in.
Right.
And he'll do our show. And the it's very difficult to do. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, color commentary, it's not that hard, right? It's very difficult. It's a whole different mindset. And the way he's been able to come into WWE and really just take the bull by the horns and really go out there and do just a fantastic job of storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we do. We tell stories. And the way he's able to communicate that to our audience is unmatched. I mean, he's been doing a great job at it.
Well, I mean, and it's not an act. I mean, the guy that you meet is the guy that you see.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. And he's just having a great time doing it.
Yeah, so he'll be able to pull it off. Yeah, Freeney's first up. He doesn't strike me as a man of many words anyway, Dwight. So you'll see him go in, and then he'll be at SummerSlam.
Then he'll be at SummerSlam.
Easy.
He doesn't need any time to prepare either. I don't think Pat does much preparing, because like he usually flies in. So like he'll fly in, he gets there a half hour before the show, and he just goes right in there and just goes. And that it's not, I don't know if he prepares himself on his private jet or whatever, but you know, he definitely, you know, just goes in there and rocks it.
I think he does some prep on his private
jet. You think so?
Yeah. Maybe just not, you know, like research.
I think he just knows the story. I think he just knows the stories and he just talks. He's a great talker.
I think he preps.
I got you.
You know,
I got you.
No, it's just Pat. So there'll be times where you just probably don't even see him until you look over and then you see him
Pat
at the mic.
Yeah. Right. Talking smack about me usually. Like, cause when Arch, I'm with in a tag team called Awesome Truth, and I'm with R-Truth, who raps.
Yes, sir.
To the ring. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, but I'm not a rapper. Like, I don't rap. But Truth was like, yeah, you're going to, since we're coming out, you need to do stuff. Like, you need to do stuff on the mic, right? Mm-hmm. So I have ears in so I can hear my voice. I don't know why. Like, honestly, I'm not a rapper, so.
Well, it must help, though.
Oh, yeah. Very, very, I'm very good at what I do, let me tell you. So Truth is out there, they're just saying, what's up? And I'm like, yeah, what's up? You know, getting everyone into it. And then on the ears, like, Pat doesn't know I can hear him in my ears. And he's just talking smack about me. Like, listen to Miz, like, rapping. He can't rap. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm listening to him while I'm rapping, by the way, because I can hear his feed in my ears. And I'm like, all right, dude. Thanks, man. You know, I'd like a little bit of, like, you know, hey, you're doing a great job. At least you're trying. At least you're trying, because that's what I'm doing. I'm trying.
And while you're trying.
I'm always the guy that is like, I'll try something. I'll try anything once, twice, three times. And even if I fail, I'll continue doing it, because maybe just once I'll succeed.
So while you're trying.
He's making fun of me with Michael Cole down there without me, like, talking smack about me. Not just, like... Like, literally talking smack about me, and I can hear him.
And you're trying to rap through it.
Yeah, I'm trying to rap through it. It's not nice. It's not nice.
What the hell, Pat?
What's up?
Come on. Little help. Fantastic. The Miz here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, TJ, you had a question for the Miz? What do you got for him?
Well, I got a question for you, Miz. First and foremost, your biography, A&E, was spectacular, bro. 2.5 hours, 2 hours, right?
It was 2 hours. Thank you. It was only supposed to be one, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so it was scheduled to be one, and then we started doing all the interviews, and they were like, this needs to be 2 hours. And I was like, really?
Okay.
I it's my life. Like, so my life, I just look at it like, this is my life. Like, this is what I've done day to day, you know, no big deal. But then when they put it together and they did it on A&E, and the first time I ever saw that it was called, like, Biography WWE Legends, I was like, oh my God, I'm a legend. Like, I'm a legend?
Yeah.
Like, they consider me a legend.
And not a 1 hour legend. You're a 2 hour
legend. By the
way,
I'm still there. So I feel like I'm young.
Yes.
Like, I'm in my prime of my career.
Yes.
And I'm already considered, like, a legend.
Yes.
I mean, pat on the back to me.
Can't confirm,
you know?
Sir.
Now, and you know what? If you weren't a Miz fan before you watched that, I think that changed a lot of people's opinions to see everything that you had to go through to get to where you are today, man. And it was pretty impressive. But the question being, we know that there's been some changes at the top, right, of WWE. And it kind of shows, bro, with the people that are getting, you know, more exposure, more title shots, even from the camera shots, wrestlers coming to the ring. And I'm just wondering, man, like, how is it backstage? How has it changed? It seems like everyone's a lot more happy and things are different, or am I reading this wrong?
Well, we're always evolving as WWE superstars, whether you're a superstar or a company in total. Like, we're always trying to make sure that the audience gets what they need. Like, you know, we want to give them the best form of entertainment we could possibly give them. And right now, the locker room is at an all-time high of positivity. I think that Triple H has really took the reins and has made this show incredible, has given chances to people that may have not gotten chances before. Mm-hmm. And you see what's happening. I've never seen WWE so popular in my 20 years career that I've been here. I've never seen so many superstars that we consider what we call over, which means when they come out into the crowd goes ecstatic. It's whether they're booing them or they're cheering them, they're highly engaged. And there are so many superstars right now. It's hard to get on a SummerSlam card. Like right now, getting on a PLE is very, very difficult to have a match. I mean, you look at the matches that we have. I mean, you have Cody Rhodes, who is our champion, who is our face right now, I would say, of the company, who has done a tremendous job of telling his story and getting the fans involved in his story. And he's going up against Solo, who is, you know, when Roman Reigns kind of went, when Cody beat Roman Reigns, Roman hasn't been around. And now Solo has taken the reins from Roman Reigns, and now he's going up against Cody for the title. You have, you know, CM Punk, who's just come back, who I didn't think ever would step in a WWE ring ever again, is now back. Mm-hmm. And he's taking on Drew McIntyre with Seth Rollins as the guest referee. This story, man, you know, Drew feels like he... CM Punk came back and the audience is just like, yes, he's back. All right. Woohoo. But what about the fact that he left you? He left us, you know, high and dry. And Drew has been fired and has come back bigger and better than ever. And he's always been there for the fans. So his story is like, why are you cheering this guy when I've been here? I've done everything I could possibly do to get you guys to come and join me and cheer me, but you're not. So he's upset about that. So he's going to take it all out on Punk.
And I mean, the three of them hate each other, right?
What's that?
And the three of them hate each other.
Yeah, they all don't like each other. Hmm. So the referee doesn't like either one of them. So that's the type of match we're having at SummerSlam, where the referee doesn't like one either guys, and neither of the guys like each other, and neither of them like the referee. So it's like, welcome to WWE, baby.
Or, you know, Scott Foster, Chris Paul, and just fill in the blank.
James Harden.
Okay. Yeah. No, they're going to go NBA. No, but in all seriousness, though, you talk about the WWE's never been more popular. And I think this, in terms of the television industry and in terms of the broadcast industry, streaming industry, the fact that Peacock would, for anything, stop its Olympic nonstop coverage and whatever they're placing on their home screen. I mean, you turn on Peacock right now, you see the five Olympic rings. The fact that Peacock would stop that train for anything is huge. And clearly, SummerSlam is going to be a feature Saturday night, August 3rd, on Peacock. And that's not a mistake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's real.
Yeah, it's real.
And by the way, no, I can't think of many other sports or entertainment entities would say, we're still going to hold our thing during the Olympics.
Of course,
and we'll
we
be
are.
Fine.
Of course, we.
You know
we
what I
will
mean?
Be fine because we have a loyal fan base who, you know, maybe have two TVs that maybe want to watch, you know, the Olympics on here and WWE
you
on
got
here.
TJ raising
or
his
they
hand.
Don't, or they don't, right. Or they just want to watch SummerSlam, or they just want to watch the Olympics. The fact is, we've always been that way, right? We'll take on anybody. We'll take on Monday Night Football every single Monday night. We'll take on whoever we have to take on because we feel we have the best product out there. And so we're putting out SummerSlam, and I truly believe there are going to be moments that will last a lifetime. Like, that's the one thing that I always set out to do, right? As the host of SummerSlam, people are like, well, what's your job? What are you doing? Well, I'm hosting. Well, what does that consist of? So I've been a host where literally I just open the show and do a couple of comedy things and we're done. I've also been a host where I've had surprise matches, where I had to take on Pat McAfee at one, lost to him, and then the next night I was hosting again and had Snoop Dogg give me a people's elbow, you know.
So I love it.
People are like, "So what do you have in store?" This I don't know. Like, you never know with WWE. We're always filled with surprises, but you know that when I go out there, my goal is like whenever I see a kid and a father or a mother and they go home, I want them to talk about a moment they shared at SummerSlam 10 years from now, 15 years from now. Like, they could be sitting there and, you know, saying, remember that time?
Sure.
That the Miz did this. Remember that time that Cody did this. Remember that time? That's what we set out to do each and every time we have a show.
The Miz here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, I would be remiss if I did not put NFL Films music in front of you and the Cleveland Browns schedule in front of you.
All right.
The win-loss game for the Cleveland Browns with none other than WWE superstar and diehard Browns fan, The Miz. What happens when the Cowboys come in week one?
They're done. Cash them in. See you, bye.
At the Jacksonville Jaguars, week two.
Whatever. Jacksonville's like, I don't think they're going to be very tough.
Okay. Is that an AEW slight as well? Can we stir that one up?
No, not at all. It's just Jacksonville Jaguars, I think.
Okay.
I don't think they're the team. I don't think they're quite the caliber of maybe the playoffs, maybe the first round in the playoffs they can make. But I'll tell you what, the Browns are going to the Super Bowl this year, baby.
Okay. That's home for the Giants.
By the way, have you been watching Hard Knocks? Because I have. And man, that has been very, very interesting. Yeah. I'm going to say we're going to beat the Giants because they lost Saquon Barkley, and that was their main offense.
3-0.
Mara's really upset about that.
Okay, 3-0 at the Raiders?
Yes.
Is that a win?
It's a win.
Okay. Yes. At the Commanders?
A win.
That's 5-0 at the Eagles.
Yeah, ooh, Eagles, I mean, they did get Saquon. But they've been losing. They lost a lot in that tail end, so who knows if they can spiral back. So I say win.
6-0. Home
that's
for the,
right, yes.
Home for the Bengals.
Bengals, we always beat the Bengals. Burrow cannot handle us or contain us. And he's going to lose.
7-0, home for the Ravens.
Even though they got Derrick Henry now, and who knows how that explosion is going to be with Lamar and Henry. Uh-huh. And so I'm going to say we're going to beat them.
That's an 8-0 start. Yeah, home for the Chargers.
Really well.
Home for the Chargers.
We're doing really well. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to beat the Chargers.
9-0 off the bye. Sorry, you're going to the bye at 9-0.
Harbaugh. And beat them both.
At the Saints.
Beat them both.
At the Saints off the bye.
At the Saints, yeah. I mean, we're done. I mean, and we're coming off a bye. We're going to feel really good about ourselves going undefeated. And now we're going to go to week 11, and we're going to win again.
10-0
yes.
Against the Steelers at home.
Oh, my God. The Steelers? I mean, who's going to be quarterbacking at this time of the year? I mean, will it be Russell Wilson or will it be Justin Fields? I think it's going to be Justin Fields at that time, and he's going to lose.
11-0 at the Broncos.
The Broncos?
On Monday night.
Who's the quarterback for the Broncos? Do we even know?
12-0 at Let's the Steelers.
Go. Then we beat them again. Build them up again.
13-0. No, home for the Chiefs.
The Chiefs. We're gonna take on the Chiefs and we're gonna defeat the Chiefs. Oh, yeah. See you, yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
14-0 at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati can't handle us. He can't handle us.
The Miami Dolphins trying to fend.
Tua, you kidding me? Tua, goodbye.
You just spat on that thing.
That's right. Get out of here.
16-0 at the Ravens.
We win again! Undefeated season! Undefeated season! Nobody can beat us! Kevin Stefanski is leading us to an undefeated season. Cleveland Browns are going all the way to the Super Bowl. You heard it here first, baby.
The Miz says it'll be a perfect 20-0 season for the Browns.
The Browns are going to be rocking this year.
That's the way to SummerSlam into the NFL season. Check out SummerSlam hosted by this man live from his home stadium in Cleveland Browns Stadium on Peacock Saturday, August 3rd at 7 Eastern Time. And check out his WWE Legends biography, 2 hours worth. Great to see you, The Miz. You're
good
the best,
to see
bro.
You. Thank you for having me.
The Miz right here. Coach K, when we come back, that's how we roll on The Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm. Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska.
and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
I represented a costume manufacturer against Barney the Purple Dinosaur. They sold this thing called Hillary the Hippo, which looked exactly like Barney. And it was just being rented for people to do, parties for their kids and all that. So we wanted to settle the case right away, but they wouldn't settle it because they wanted to make an example out of it.
Oh, no.
So we went to federal court and won.
No kidding.
Yeah, we won. And we wound up, then it went to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. I had to argue about Barney the Purple Dinosaur one step away from the United States Supreme Court. The funniest part, because the case is over, I can say this now.
Yes.
I had the costume, the evidence of the trial, I had the costume at home for some reason.
Yes.
And my wife and her friends used it to have a birthday party for some of our kids. For some of the kids in the neighborhood. And they had all, this is back before cell phone pictures and all that.
Sure.
So they had pictures of all this. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, do you realize this could end the trial right here if the other side got a hold of this? I subpoenaed Barney to the trial. Honest to God.
This gets better.
I subpoenaed Barney to the trial. The other side said, Your Honor, we can't do that. There are only three of these costumes in existence. It's on the road doing this and hardship of bringing it in. And the costume is 6'8" tall, weighs like 250 pounds or whatever. And I stood up. I said, Your Honor, I'm 6'8" and I weigh about 240. I got in here just fine. And so the judge ordered the costume, and they brought it, opened up this big truck, and they wouldn't let anybody see it unless somebody was in it. Barney pops out of the back of a truck onto the loading dock. The judge came down, all the court reporter, and every employee of the federal building was there to see it.
This is a celebrity, right?
It was the dumbest thing you'd ever seen in your life.
The great Jay Billis. Love whenever he's appeared on our program. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. That's one of the many reasons I love doing this show. Hour number two, all with Kyle Brandt, then to The Miz, now to the winningest coach in the history of men's college basketball. And for the purposes of this time of year, three-time gold medal winning coach Mike Krzyzewski here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Coach K?
Yeah, it's great to be on. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here. I'm like all my memories of back in the day when I used to have hair and did SportsCenter kind of as rushing my way. I remember meeting you for the first time at a Jimmy V golf tournament in North Carolina with Stuart Scott, just chatting it up with you before I destroyed the golf course in a bad way. Those memories are coming back to me right now, Coach. So,
it's ironic that you're saying that. I'm getting ready to head out to Napa. I host the V Wine Celebration there for 20 years, and it's really a huge event. We raised $21 million last year. Hopefully we'll raise between 10 and 12 at least this year. And the V Foundation's done an amazing job, and it got kicked off by having golf tournaments and things like that. So thank you for helping us get started.
Oh, no, I just remember all of those events, and those were great times, and obviously in support of something that I kind of can't believe, to be honest with you. Stuart Scott is kind of in the same sentence as Jimmy V because of speeches right. that they both gave riddled with cancer at the ESPY Awards. You know, and that Stewart did pretty much what Jimmy did, and it's his spirit that lives on, and I'm sure will be mentioned at this event that you're talking about in Napa.
Yeah, Coach. And Stewart, they have events honoring his great memory, and his family has been terrific in support, and really Jimmy and Stewart showed incredible courage and the ability to show themselves at that time when they're fighting in, there was not a cure anymore, but they were visible. And those type of things are uncommon. And you're talking about two really amazing guys in Jimmy Ann and Stewart.
When did you first meet Jim Valvano? Let's hit the Wayback Machine.
I played against him. He was at Rutgers and I was playing at West Point, and then I coached against him, and he was at Iona, and I was at West Point. We came down together to North Carolina the same year, and then once he stopped coaching, we became like great friends. And during the last 6 months of his life, we were like brothers. And so he recruited me to be on the V team, and I've been on it for 3 decades now. And the V Foundation's done wonders.
I bet. No question about it. And hosannas to you for that. Coach K here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what is the challenge of coaching a men's national team at the Olympics with all of the greats that are at your disposal on the bench and to start, Coach?
Well, I think the main thing, Rich, is the fact that there's only one outcome that you can have, that is you have to win. And that's what I told all of our teams, that don't worry about minutes, scoring, and whatever. People are only going to ask you one question: did you win? And if you can answer yes, we'll be a very happy guy, and we'll be a very happy team. I think it's a different game. It's 40 minutes. The ball is different. It has 2 extra panels. It's administered a little bit differently. And FIBA, the Federation for International Basketball, it's a different game. And you have to learn. You can't impose your game on them. You have to learn to play their game. And so these teams are really good. You know, 1/4 of the NBA are international players. So it's not like there's not this awe factor that like the Dream Team had in 92, where, wow, we're playing the U.S. team. These teams look at it as, hey, a number of these guys that I play against them in almost 100 games, you know, during the NBA season. It's an opportunity for them. And one game, I think the mentality to have like in the NBA, it can be the 7th game, you know, you can be 3-3. Each game, once you get into the medal round, is the 7th game, the quarters, the semis, and obviously the finals. It's one and done.
Yeah, I know. And again, even when the when the showcases were going down just a week ago,
right,
and the close call to South Sudan, and the game, the showcases were close calls. I'm sitting here at this desk, and I'm not saying that the men's national team isn't as good as it should be. I'm looking at the other competition. I'm looking at, say, like Team Canada, you know, SGA, right, and Jamal Murray and RJ Barrett. They're not looking at Team USA going, uh-oh, we got trouble. Like, that's an NBA team in its own right there in Canada.
Right, and some of these teams are being coached by NBA coaches. And, you know, the world is really good. And so winning is never easy, but winning in the Olympics is difficult. And so Steve Kerr and his staff have done a really good job. And they have 2 more pool games to play, Puerto Rico and South Sudan. And then the Olympics are different than when I coached, in that it's always 12 teams, but it used to be 2 6-team pools, and then the top four from each, you know, it would go forward. Now you have to, there are 3 4-team pools. And so, 6 of the teams are 1 and 2 in each of those pools. And then the two third place teams will make it based on point differential. So it's a little bit, it's different. And it's different. But after these next 2 games, it'll really be different because it's one and done. And I feel good about our team. You know, the thing, Rich, that we can do better than any country in the world is play defense. And if we defend the 3 and don't put them on the foul line, I think we'll win.
And obviously, and having, you know, a deep roster, Coach K, helps. What did you think when you heard Steve Kerr say he felt like an idiot giving Jason Tatum his first DNP CD perhaps in his life, Coach?
Well, it is difficult because it's 40 minutes, and you can't play 12 guys and have continuity. And so whatever rotation they decide on, and hopefully the players, they're all in tune to that. You have to have some level of continuity. These other teams have continuity. They don't play 12 players. They play 8, 9 maybe, and they play more minutes together. And so it's a difficult assignment. And we usually ended up with a rotation of about 9 players, and 3 others would play limited minutes or not play at all. And whatever happens for the team, you accept it, because again, you get back to that one question: did we win? Okay, this is the way we have to do it. As long as we win, I'm okay with everything. There are no individual accolades. It's got to be a collective effort and a collective accolade when our team is standing on the podium there, getting gold medals around their necks, and the national anthem is being played. It'll all be worth it. So everyone's got to just buy in and do what that coaching staff wants them to do.
Although in any of the Olympic Games, Coach, did you ever during a game look down at the bench and go, oh, that's right, that's an all-time great, I haven't played a single lick yet? Did you ever have moments like that?
No, I never did that. And, you know, of recent, when we got together, we would, you know, create standards for our team of how we're going to live together. And I asked each one of my players on each of the teams, I said, you have to pledge to me that you'll do anything that we ask you to do in order to win the gold medal. And they did. And so I was never worried about that. We had great guys, and this team has great guys. You know, I think you make too much of something. You know, the main thing we should make too much of is how are we going to beat South Sudan? How are we going to beat Puerto Rico and not get caught up in all the other stuff? You know, we didn't have social media during that time, which probably helped. Not probably, it did help, because then there are just too many opinions, you know, and really you have to blank out all those other opinions and just say, what's our opinion, not my opinion. In other words, be a team of plural pronouns. What are we going to do? What's our mission? And I can tell you, I loved, you know, we won 5 straight championships, 3 Olympics and 2 worlds. You know, and the guys that were on those teams were terrific. They were unbelievable.
Coach K here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know if you heard during the broadcast of the men's team's victory to open the Olympics against Serbia, Dwayne Wade at the microphone told a story about scrimmaging prior to the 08 games in Beijing, and how you put Kobe and LeBron on the same team, and how Dwayne Wade and the guys on the other team kind of took a little bit of a notice of that. I'm wondering what your perspective on that story is.
Well, I don't remember exactly knowing that, but it's probably the team that I was going to coach. So
nice.
I've always been a decent recruiter. Nice. By the way, Dwayne has done an amazing job.
I think so too.
Yeah. And on that team, Rich, you know, Dwayne was hurt that spring. We weren't sure if he was going to play. And then I said, you got to play. And he did. And I said, I'm going to bring you off the bench. And he did. He came off the bench. He was our leading scorer. And he came off the bench with Chris Paul, Darren Williams, and Chris Bosh. Not all, usually we sub the four of them. And I called Dwayne during that time Rocket Man when he came in. He was amazing and not good. But we had a continuity there. And then at the end of games, we had, it wasn't a starting team. You tried to create a closing team. You know, who would the five or six guys in the last 5 minutes of crunch time, you know, would work together the best. And the beautiful thing about our players is they're positionless. You know, you can have five players out there who really don't have one position. They just know how to play basketball. And that's kind of the way we tried to coach them.
So your favorite Kobe story, what do you have? Your favorite Kobe Bryant?
Well, I have a bunch of them.
What do you have?
Yeah, I'll tell you, he's the best prepared player I've ever seen and coached or heard about. 2 days before we started training camp in Las Vegas, I was with my staff, and there was a knock on the door, and it was Kobe. He came 2 days early, and he said, I need to have a meeting with you. I thought he was going to drop out. My heart dropped. And we went into a room, and he looked at me, said, I need for you to do me a favor. And I felt good. I said, okay, he's still with us. and I said, of course, I can do you a favor. And he said, I want to guard the best perimeter player on every team that we play. And then he paused, and Rich, he leaned forward then. You know, he had these penetrating, beautiful eyes, and he said, Coach, I promise I'll destroy him. And I wanted to put out a contract right then, but I didn't. and so every practice, he wanted to be the best defensive player. And in his mind, this is how he worked. He knew that in order for us to win the gold medal, we wanted the two best teams in the world besides us were Spain and Argentina. And that we would have to beat Argentina. And he wanted to guard Ginobili. And that's his vision. And finally, we played Argentina in the semis, and we're beating them by 20 points, and Ginobili got hurt. And after he got hurt, they came back to within 8-10 points of us because Kobe needed to be motivated like that. And remember, at that time, he was the best player in the world and the leading scorer in the NBA. And he wanted to show everyone that I'll do the dirty work and I'll play defense. He was a magnificent player and competitor and guy.
I love it. A few minutes left with Coach K here on the Rich Eisen Show. Talk a little bit about the here and now by going in the Wayback Machine. What's the first time you met Dan Hurley, Coach?
Oh, when we recruited his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, in their home. Bobby was really one of the great college players of all time and led us to two national championships and three Final Fours. But I knew their father. You know, Bob is one of the great coaches of all time and a great guy. And then Danny went on to play at Seton Hall for PJ Carlesimo. And we've kept up a friendship. Actually, to be quite frank with you, he and I had a long talk on the phone last night because I'm working with the NBA now. We're trying to form a little bit of an alliance with college basketball to upgrade what's happening in our country with basketball, with shot clocks, with play the game the same way. And Danny's going to be the collegiate game, I think, needs to change in access and maybe in how they play the game. And a lot of coaches feel that way. So we're trying to, anyway, it's a process, but Danny will be a huge part of that with all the success he's had and his feel for the game.
Well, and obviously he could have been in the NBA, chose not to. Right. So, man, there's so many different ways I can go here right now. Is it true that, were you part of the Lakers search process in any way, shape, or form? You were not?
No, I was. No, I know. Obviously, when JJ was involved, I'm going to be involved because he's one of my former players. And so we're going to talk. And I know Rob Pelinka. He's been a friend for 25 years, but I was not a consultant or anything like that. I'd give an opinion. If JJ asked for something or Rob said, what do you think of JJ? And, but not as a consultant. That's stretching it.
So, and obviously, though, Dan kind of went, if you will, in a similar path as you. Where
but I didn't talk, Rich, I didn't talk to Danny during that process at all. And he didn't, if he would have called, I would have, obviously, he's a good friend. But I felt, I think Danny Hurley can handle that by himself. And, he would have been a great hire for the Lakers, but I think JJ is a great hire also.
Of course, no doubt about that. And I do want to hit your two cents on that before I do let you go. But were you surprised that Dan stayed in UConn knowing where the college game is NIL transfer portal happening during the NCAA tournament? Obviously there are trappings in the pros as well, but you could move to Los Angeles, coach LeBron James for the Lakers. You had an opportunity to coach the Lakers, but stayed in college. So I'd love to get your perspective on what Dan Hurley eventually decided to do.
Well, I think instead of looking at all the problems, and it is a landscape that needs to be navigated intelligently and collectively for college basketball, but the Hurley family has been committed to the game of basketball forever. I mean, their father is really one of the great guys and great coaches, and their whole family is basketball. And so I think he understood his commitment. One is he understood his commitment to Connecticut and what a great institution and program that Jim Calhoun started there, and it's continued. And I think he likes that challenge, and he loves college. And I think he really loves the East Coast. They're firmly entrenched there in the New York, Connecticut, New Jersey area. So I think his commitment to the game was part of the reason that he stayed. And he's one of the leaders right now for college basketball, maybe the top leader, at least one of the top two or three. And you have a responsibility. You can't just win trophies, although those are nice to win. Mm-hmm. You have to make a commitment to the game. And he's a lifer. His family are lifers. They have a huge commitment to basketball. I love them. I don't like them. I love them.
So before I let you go, what are your two cents for JJ Redick, if you're willing to share them with us, that you have imparted to him?
I think JJ is a great hire, and he's surrounding himself with good coaches. JJ is a great competitor, not a good one. And he's really smart about the game. I think he's smart outside the game too. And he wants to coach. He has a passion to coach, and he has learned a lot. I think by having a 15-year NBA career, he has empathy for players. He's been exposed to a lot of coaches. And then in his the podcasts he's done and the work he's done on TV, he's got, you know, he's learned even more. And I think it's a really good hire. And, you know, obviously I'm pulling for him. I love JJ. And he made me, many of the plays that I put in work because JJ was the main guy in those plays. He, you know, he's as good a shooter as ever played in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Coach K, what a pleasure to catch up with you. I'd love to do this more often if you're willing. Certainly, if you ever find yourself in Southern California, I know again you're going to be in Northern California for the fundraiser. V.org is where you can go and donate to learn more about the V Foundation. Coach, appreciate the time, sir. Always.
No, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Right back at you. You bet. That's Mike Krzyzewski getting set to head up again for yet another V Foundation fundraiser in the midst of the Olympics right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Total delight. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll check on the news on who's not playing in the preseason in New York City. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen.
All right, let's try to fit win-loss game in before the radio audience returns. YL in Pennsylvania, you there?
What's up?
You there, YL? Uh-oh.
Oh, no, YL.
Unfortunately, Tim in Cincinnati, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, bro, let's get you. You're on the clock, and, you know, Pittsburgh's already lost because he wanted to do the win-loss game. Here we go.
Fast.
Here we go. Let's see if we can do it. Tim wants to do a win-loss game for the Cincinnati Bengals. What happens at home for the Patriots?
Ugly win.
At the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's a loss.
Home for the Commanders on a Monday night.
Win.
At the Panthers.
Win.
3-1 home for the Ravens.
Win.
Big win. 4-1 at the Giants.
Another win.
5-1 at the Browns.
Loss.
5-2 home for the Eagles.
Win.
6-2 home for the Raiders.
Win.
7-2 at the Ravens on a Thursday night.
That's going to be a loss.
7-3 at the Chargers.
Win.
8-3 off the bye, home for the Steelers.
Win.
9-3 at the Cowboys on a Monday night.
We can't beat them. Loss.
9-4 at the Titans.
Win.
10-4 home for the Browns on a Thursday night.
Win. The Miz isn't that right.
11-4 home for the Broncos.
Win.
12-4 at the Steelers.
Loss.
12-5, says Tim in Cincinnati.
That's our last loss of the year.
Thank you, Tim. Okay. Yeah, he says they win the Super Bowl. I like it. By the way, also like the back slap of the Miz. I appreciate that sort of Buckeye State bile against one another. That was dynamite, the Miz doing it. Unbelievable. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. What a show, huh? Joe Ortiz, the general manager of the Chargers, comes across the street, down the street, says hello. We say goodbye, and then Kyle Brandt comes in from down the street. NFL media group in Inglewood hangs out for the hour. He says hi to the Miz, who sits down. Miz takes off, and then we zoom with Coach K.
Boom.
Fun win-loss games. What we started with overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. What a show. Wow. It's a full show.
To quote Erykah Badu, what a day, a day.
Very good.
Here, Coach.
I don't know what that meant.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, speaking of AA, Ron, look at you.
That's what I was doing.
Okay.
I was working on
Okay. So we heard earlier in the show, Matt Eberflus saying the starters aren't playing in Canton, Ohio. Sorry, Canton.
Yeah.
You're going to see the backups of the Bears And so Robert Saleh, Jets head coach, was asked, how much are we going to see of Aaron Rodgers in the preseason?
We haven't really talked about it. My instinct right now as I stand here is we'll see. My instinct is no, but I want to leave it open that that third game is the one where we're deciding. He definitely won't play the first two, but the discussion on the third one we just haven't quite had yet.
Yeah, I like Robert Saleh's instincts, but I think the reason why he's leaving any room for changing that is if Rodgers says to him, I think my first snaps shouldn't be against Nick Bosa in San Francisco. My first snap since my Achilles snap shouldn't be against Nick Bosa in San Francisco on Monday night.
Right.
Then the Jets will say, okay, let's just hand it off a few times. You make a quick throw here, quick throw there, and let's get you out against the Giants in the Snoopy Bowl, if that's still calling it that.
Just a few game reps, arrows before, you know.
But that's a great instinct. If Rodgers is like, I can handle it, I've been through enough that I can wait till Monday Night Football, that'll be my first snaps since that awful moment on the previous Monday night appearance, then that's the way it should be. What are you? You want to give Brian Burns a free shot? Is that what you want? Kayvon Thibodeau, a free shot in a game that this?
Yeah, not particularly.
Give him a shot. To quote Travolta.
Give him a shot.
Give him a shot. Nah, give him a shot.
Not going to be able to do it.
No. In a game that means nothing except just getting a good sweat on?
Yeah, good point.
I don't think so.
No.
That's what I interpret Saleh saying, we'll see, and then going, my instinct is no. But leave it open. Rodgers says, I think I should get some snaps, and fine. Great. Get out there, hand it off to Breece Hall three times, and that'll be the night. Fun Tuesday show back on the Roku channel to wrap it up in a sec.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast.
Season 4, I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.